Well, the text that was read is not the text. It does talk a lot about us, about why we are here in Ephesians chapter 1. But I've chosen this shorter text, Psalm 57 verse 2. And this is what it says in Psalm 57 verse 2. I cry out to God Most High, to God, who fulfills His purpose for me. I cry out to God Most High, to God, who fulfills His purpose for me. Why should we have a purpose-driven life? That's the title of that book that Rick Warren wrote. It's because life is meaningless if it doesn't have a purpose. But its purpose can't be fake or dreamed up by our imagination. It has to be real. It has to be valid. And for it to be valid and real, it has to be a purpose that was designed and authored by our Creator, the one who made us. And so we find lasting significance, significance that's eternal, actually, only in the eternal purpose of God. And so in answering this question, what on earth am I here for, we have to answer some other questions. And there's three great questions that I'm going to propose in this message. Why am I alive? Why does my life matter? And what is my purpose? And for the first question, it's a question of existence. Why am I alive? It's an ancient question because of our human condition, because of suffering, because of human hardship and grief and pain and death and all the things that go up to make this world a place where we say this is a bad place. It's a good place because it has life and light. But it's a bad place because it has darkness and death. And so this human condition has caused people to ask this question, why am I here? Why am I alive? Jeremiah asked it even. Why did I ever come out of the womb to see trouble and sorrow and to end my days in shame? That was Jeremiah at a down point. Job had a down point where he asked the same kind of question in verse 20 and 23 of chapter 3. Why is light given to one in misery and life to the bitter in soul? Why is light given to one who cannot see the way whom God has sent in? A common question even for Christians or even for believers. But it's a question that the world asks all the time. It's a common question. And it's approached in various ways. There's the humorous approach. Jack Hanley, who was a movie writer, who's dead now, but he said, I hope life isn't a joke because I don't get it. That was his point. You know, it was a sort of a humorous way of looking at the enigma. What is this life about? There's a materialistic approach, which says, whoever dies with the most toys wins. You've probably seen it on bumper stickers. You've heard that phrase. But the only problem with that is that you're just as dead as the other guy, though, too, who didn't have a lot of toys. It's just the same thing. It's a materialistic approach, doesn't work. Self-help approach. You know, invent your own purpose. Oprah Winfrey had a talk or a show where she did what this is the main thing, and she kept putting it off until the end of the show. She was going to say what the purpose of life was, and finally at the end of the show she says, and remember, you've got to figure it out by yourself. You're on your own, in other words. You're on your own. Just figure it out by yourself. Well, then there's a skeptical approach, and I think the skeptical approach is probably, if you don't have God, it's the most realistic approach. And this is what Isaac Asimov says. As far as I can see, because he's only looking at the material universe, he says there is no purpose. There is no purpose. And Joseph Taylor, the author, said, I have no answers to the meaning of life, and I no longer want to search for any. Well, all of those answers, including the skeptical ones, leaves humans with an empty heart. It leaves humanity with an empty heart to this question, why am I here? The only hopeful answer is that we are created by a loving God who created us so He could love us. That is an answer that gives hope. Now, many world views, many philosophies, many religions teach that God created everything. That's a thing that is always, but not every one of them. In fact, most of them don't have any kind of a clue or why What is the reason God created us? The scripture does give that rhythm. God made everything for his own purpose. That's in Proverbs 16:4. And the reason God created us, given in the passage in Ephesians that was read in verse 4 of that passage, but also translating in the Message translation, long before he laid down earth's foundation, he had us in mind and settled on us as the focus of his love to be made whole and holy by his love. We must answer this question, why am I here? Why am I alive? It's because God made us. There's an agnostic named Charles Murray that was recently interviewed in the last month or so, and this wasn't a part of this Rick Warren's book, but it sure answered the question. He was an agnostic. He was being interviewed about culture, and this is what he said. You've got to hear these words. Human accomplishment is fostered by a culture in which the most talented people believe that life has a purpose and that the function of life is to fulfill that purpose. That's what he said, but he said some more. He said, it is harder for an agnostic or an atheist than a Christian to find purpose, because a devotion to a human cause, whether social justice or the environment or the search for truth or an abstract humanism, is by its nature less compelling than a devotion to God. Here, Christianity has its most potent advantage. The incentives of forgiveness of sin and eternal life are just about as powerful as incentives get. The non-believer has to make do with comparatively tepid alternatives. This is a self-confession by an agnostic, Charles Murray. Well, this leads us into the next question, because we don't find significance outside of God. We don't, and his purposes for us, we don't find any lasting significance. And this is what the honest atheists or the honest agnostics have been saying down through the years. So the question of significance is the next question. I'm alive, but does my life really matter? Does it matter? People who are in the midst of discouragement, a lot of times they will say things like Isaiah said, my work all seems so useless. I've spent my strength for nothing and for no purpose at all. When we're in discouragement because we don't know what our purpose is, we don't know what we're fulfilling, discouragement can come. And life matters. Life must matter in order for life to be meaningful and worth living. The suicide rate among teenagers is always constantly put before us, because so many teenagers commit suicide, and we say, why is the rate so high? Well, it's not a coincidence that this rate is high in a society where the adult population has not been able to pass on an offer of substantial reason or purpose for the meaning of life. And we need to do that. Teenagers start seeing the future. They say there's no meaning to the future. They listen to people like those philosophers and say, if there's not going to be any meaning, then I'm out of here. But we need to finish this verse that says, my work all seems so useless. I have spent my strength for nothing and for no purpose at all. That's only the first part of this verse in Isaiah. Then he says, yet I leave it all to the Lord's hand. I will trust God for my reward. Meaning is restored when we get God back into the picture of things, and especially putting back in the center of the picture. Well, our lives matter because God has a plan for us. In fact, he has a plan, and he's got us fitting into the plan. And first of all, we look in the scriptures, and we look back in Genesis right at the very beginning of the outset, and we say, we are made in God's image. He breathed into man, and he became a living soul. And then he said he made him in his image. In Genesis 1:27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And God has plans for our life. He has plans for our life. In 1 actually in Psalm, we've quoted this so many times, 139, where it says, we are fearfully and wondrously made, which is Eleanor Lancaster when she was here. She said that verse. Well, the verses that follow that verse, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. We are in God's plan. And the Lord also, who created us, stays committed to us. And how does that commitment work out? In Isaiah 44:2, in the God's Word translation, the Lord made you, formed you in the womb, and will help you. The Lord made us, but He did not leave us and just abandon us, as the theistic philosophy says. God set the world in motion with a bunch of laws, and then He withdrew personally. No, that kind of God is not our God. God personally will help us. He is involved in humanity. And this plan is not a temporary plan, just for the planet. You know, the atheist, the agnostic that studies science, Isaac Asimov, says someday this all world is going to crumble down into a cinder and humanity will be gone. That's not God's plan. Yes, this world may crumble down to a cinder, but we're going to be an everlasting body that are going to last forever, just like Christ's body. We matter to God because He wants us to last forever. He wants us to stick around for a long, long time, eternity. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in the Revised Standard Version, it says, for we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We have a place to go to that's going to last. We're alive because God made us. We matter because we're in God's plan. But life is not a meaningless thing, as some people say. It has meaning because there are purposes. And unless we're a self-made purpose. Now, some people have self-made purposes or they have self-made meaning in their life. Then you can get discouraged. Then sometimes it becomes meaningless. There's a syndicated humorist named Ashley Brilliant. That's his real name, Brilliant. And he has a bunch of brilliant quotes that he has. How many have heard of him before? He has these things called postcards that he sells. But he also has some articles in comic columns. Here's what he said. Life may have no meaning. Or even worse, it may have a meaning of which I disapprove. And, you know, he's real cocky like that in a lot of things he said. But that's not so brilliant. That's not so brilliant at all. True meaning in life sometimes means that we have to give up our own way of thinking in order to adopt God's pattern of thinking. We may disapprove of it because we don't really understand how good it is for us. It says in the Message translation of Proverbs 9:6, a beautiful translation, leave your impoverished confusion and live. Walk up the street to a new meaning of life. That is wonderful. Walk up the street to a new meaning of life. And that is the question of the purpose. What is the purpose of this life? You know, the big picture is the purpose. And the big picture is God's picture. There is only one big picture. A lot of people try to paint a big picture. They can't get all the pieces to fit. It's no picture at all if God's not in it. Bertrand Russell was probably one of the greatest atheists, most articulate atheist philosophers of the last century. And here's what he said, and this is so meaningful. He said, unless you assume the existence of God, the question of life's meaning and purpose is irrelevant. And he did not assume it. He said, there is no God. So really, you just got to be tough and put a good face on it and face meaninglessness with a lot of courage. What is courage? Bertrand, he's dead now, but I asked him the question, what is courage? How can we have courage and face meaninglessness? You know, it's just a figment of our imagination to have that kind of courage. It doesn't have any reality at all. The big picture we have to have because it determines how all the little pictures fit together and how they're pieced together. if we were trying to put together a puzzle, and let's just make it hard on ourselves and say the puzzle is completely identical squares, okay? And they have a certain amount of picture on the pieces, but which are the edges? I don't know which are the edges, and where can I start? Where can I begin? But there's no picture to show us what the puzzle pieces look like together. Try to put that together. Well, that's a good illustration, but enough time, I think we could put it back together again. It'd take a lot of time. But our situation is much, much worse. We live in a world of humanity that has fallen into sin and become broken into pieces and fragmented and separated, where there's alienation in society, where there's alienation in families, as small as structures that is. There's alienation among nations and large structures, alienation among races, brokenness, and broken homes. How do we get the big picture to put all those pieces back together? God has the big picture. And He has determined that through Christ, it'll be put back together. So if there's a big picture and it belongs to God, how do we get the big picture? We've got to get it from Him. We've got to get it from knowing Him. It says again in Proverbs chapter 9, near that other verse, in verse 10, this is the Living Bible translation. For the reverence and fear of God are basic to all wisdom. Knowing God results in every other kind of understanding. We've got to get that relationship with God in order to get the big picture. And success in knowing your purpose means that you're going to have success in getting into a relationship with God. You can't find your purpose elsewhere. You can go to talk shows. You can go to seminars. You can buy self-help books. You can go to a seance or stare into a crystal ball. There'll be insufficient answers. They don't give you the meaning that you're seeking, because it only comes in one way. Again, the first chapter of Colossians. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, everything got started in Him and finds its purpose in Him. And specifically, that purpose is fulfilled in the kingdom plan of God through Jesus Christ. He is the big picture that will put all these broken pieces of humanity together. It's in Christ, it says in Ephesians 11, part of the passage you reread but translated in the Message version. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Part of the overall purpose He is working out in everything and in everyone. God's purpose. Finding significance, finding lasting significance in life means that we must have the purpose of God in our lives. Now, everyone's at a different stage in their spiritual growth and their spiritual journey, but Acts chapter 10, again in the Message translation, it makes no difference. It makes no difference who you are or where you're from. If you want God and you're ready to do as He says, the door is open. The door is open. This is a great opportunity we're entering into in the 40 days, because the door is open for a closer relationship. And all of us need a closer relationship, a closer walk with God. George Herbert, the famous poet, back I think in the 1600s, he said that it's never too late to be who you might have been. Some will disagree with that, but not according to God's purposes. Maybe in areas that you thought, oh, these were important. But what is important right now, that you become what God wants you to be. What you maybe haven't become, but what God wants you to be. Whatever you've missed, it's still knowable, and it's doable as far as God is concerned. And God has made Himself available to be known, and He's made Himself available to be followed. The door is open. Let's go through it. Lord Jesus, thank You so much for Your wonderful Word. We've quoted a lot from Your Word today in different translations to try to get the meaning, to try to get the purpose that You have for us. Why are we here on the earth? Lord, we know it's all pointing towards the door that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the door. He is the sheepfold. And going into Christ and discovering the riches that You've provided for us in this thing called the passion that is being advertised so much today about because of this film that's come out. Lord, what you purchased on the cross is the doorway for us to find our meaning and purpose, for have the pieces of our lives and the pieces of the world around us put back together the way your kingdom should be run. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This morning, we're going to talk about one of the things that God has planned.